Good evening. This is our fifth and final session in this series, which we began 5 weeks ago on Shidduchim and Nuchas HaNefesh and the Guiding Lights. So my intention is to present for about 45 minutes topic for this evening, which are the five most important tools in building your relationship. And then we're going to take about a half an hour, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less, to answer a number of questions which I received from you via Reverend Cohen. They're all extremely important questions, and I hope to get to each of those that I have seen and had a chance to think about and even discuss with other people. So, let me just start to record on this.
Yeah. Recording in progress.
So in the first four sessions of the program, we were been talking about Menuchas HaNefesh and those skills that are required to enable you to maintain your equilibrium, you know, what I call 98.6, sense of balance, a sense of inner shlemus, a generally positive feeling about yourself and about the person you're dating as well, even if you are not serious about going any further. But so we discussed the five dimensions of self, our relationships, our thoughts, and for relationships we learned the experience of the inner circle, these very deep and meaningful moments that we have access to, that define what closeness is, based on people with whom we have been close. And then we have thoughts, and we learned fact, and we'll go over each of these shortly. And we then discussed feelings. Someone's mic is on. I better silence everyone. So please make sure your phones or computers are muted. And so we then learned pages and flag, right? And the golden threads. And then last week we learned two skills related to anxiety. We learned centering and the pulse of life. Now, I want to say this before we go any further. Each of these, these skills, it took me quite a while to develop them, and I've taught them to many people, and many people have been enabled to get married and stay married, right, based on many of these skills. But each takes a while to learn, to integrate, internalize into your daily life, when to use it, how to use it. My very strong suggestion is that each of them, some of them we covered two skills in one session. I think we did pages and flag together. In fact, we did a separate session. But I believe you should take at least 1 week, right, to go over the shiur of each of these. I will make sure, I think, I'll make all the shiurim available to Reverend Cohen, so you'll have them. you should take one skill a week and practice it every day, right? Because their applications are not just in your dating, but they're in every aspect of your life. The way you think, the way you feel about others, the way you feel about life, what you feel about yourself, the golden threads, how you deal with anxiety, how you deal with tension, how you deal with panic, right? All of these things. But you can't run through them, and you can't learn them and know them unless you practice them. And the more you practice them, the more you'll appreciate them and see what a difference, an incredible difference they make in your life. But you should spend a minimum of 1 week learning each of them. And you can take a month. And I must say, these took me years to develop. And Baruch Hashem, they've helped many, many people. Not all of them are for everyone, but I think all of them can be applied by everyone at some point or another in their dating or in their lives. Okay. So this has been the content of our first four sessions. And the purpose of it all is to teach you how to maintain your sense of Menuchas HaNefesh. And once again, FACT, F-A-C-T, is how to quiet your thoughts. It doesn't pay to run through them. I'll just repeat them. But you should be listening to them over and over again, over and over. Pages is how to enhance your own sense of self-esteem. Flag is how to deal with the nisyonos, with the challenges of life. Golden threads is how to maintain your focus of what you're trying to achieve in your life, and looking for your basharit, as opposed to your other very important activities, interests, hobbies, whatever you do that keeps you going and ticking and feeling alive. But this is really at the center. They're all important, but this is the garin shel hagarin. And then obviously the centering is how to maintain yourself in a social situation, dealing with social anxiety and pulses of life is how to deal with really intense anxiety that affects your physical functioning as well. So all this has been a hakdama really to the last session. And because the last session is excellent to be a Menuchas HaNefesh, because you'll have learned a lot about yourselves and each other. But learning a lot is not the same as building a relationship. The goal is to go from being an acquaintance to being in a relationship. And the way we do that is by utilizing a number of skills, a number of relationship building skills. Now there are four of them. I say five because the first one is really everything we learned until now, which is to be in Menuchas HaNefesh. We've learned everything I've taught you. But the other four, and I'll tell you what they are, and we're going to go through them one by one. Hopefully you'll be able to understand them and utilize them. They're all very, very important. A good number of them were part of my book I wrote in the year 2000, which was the first book I wrote on the Seven Gates to Marriage. So in a sense, there are five guiding lights that we're dealing with over here. The first is the one of trust and amunah b'tochen, which, because all of these things I've taught you, they all evoke a sense of b'tochen and amunah Hashem, FACT, FLAG, pages, right? And we'll have an opportunity later to address this issue more carefully and in depth. The second is affirmations, which we will discuss soon. The third of these guiding lights is inner history, then vulnerability, and finally caring. Now these four skills, interpersonal skills, are based on one simple factor. It does not take a long time to build a relationship if there are moments which a person remembers as unforgettable moments. Everybody who went to Niagara Falls and went on the Maid of the Mist, right, and saw this incredible sight of this wall of water, right, cascading down. This is an unforgettable moment. Right. Doesn't take too long. I mean, in a dating relationship, in a date that can last 3-4 hours, all you need is one or two of these. They don't have to be Niagara Falls moments, right, to have billions of tons of water pouring down over you, but to feel that someone connected with you, right? And this is what we're going to be talking about. How to create that arc of connectivity with another person. How to make a person feel choshev, right? And through that, building the relationship. Now, I want to discuss one more concept before, and that's the concept of ripples in the pond. Very important. If you stand by a pond and you take a little pebble and you throw the pebble into the water, the place where the pebble hits the water creates ripples, these concentric circles around the pebble. So in that sense, everything we're talking about here is intended to create ripples in the pond, meaning that if I'm going to share an affirmation with somebody, and we'll discuss what that is in a moment, and that affirmation may be about somebody else, or maybe about the person I'm talking to, right? So that creates a connection with that person. And when a person is connected, feels connected with another person, you see ripples in the pond. You see a softening of features. You sometimes see a smile. You hear a response, a favorable response. Right? Sometimes you don't, but frequently you do. And this is how relationships are built, by sharing positive thoughts and feelings, and having these thoughts and feelings create this sense of chashivas in the moment. And sometimes you see it in a smile, and sometimes you kind of feel it, you hear it, and the person comes back and says something positive to you, right? So the first of these skills are affirmations. Now, I'm very much a believer that there are no empty moments in dates. People need a breather. But I believe that every date has the potential to be meaningful, which is why it's so important to maintain your focus and what you're using to promote the connection that you're trying to create with somebody. So, affirmations. What's an affirmation? Affirmation is when I affirm something about you. You are a teacher of special ed, and I say, you know, I always admire special ed teachers because they're so ibbikageben, they're so devoted, they are able to elevate the thoughts and the feelings of someone who's struggling. I'm deeply impressed by your chosen career, right? Now, and so that's an affirmation. And when you say that to someone who is in special ed, what you're saying is that what you're doing with your life is important. Now, it could also be learning as well. You know, you're learning at BMG or you're learning wherever you're learning. And I so much admire that. It's such a wonderful thing to do. You know, now, some guys will say ho-hum, you know, and look away and as if you're polishing their shoes. Well, that's not a ripple in the pond. You're looking for somebody who responds in a positive way, right? Somebody who has the midos, the right midos to understand and accept what you're saying. What you're doing when you're affirming somebody is you're affirming the value of others. You're saying, I believe other people are important. I believe that what you're doing is important. And you're not seen as someone who puts others down or who is critical of other people, whether it's the person you're dating, which you certainly won't do that, or anybody else for that matter. You want to be able to show your respect for that person. You want to be able to show that you wish the best for others, right? That you are that you see the values of what others doing others. What they're doing in their lives. And that inevitably creates a bracha for yourself. I know Rabbi Avigdor Miller would give, as a tzal, would give the advice, if you want to use your time well on the Seres Yemei Tshuva, you should pass the house of people who do things for the tzibur, right? You have to go in, you don't have to say anything. You can say, I give you a bracha, right, for devoting your life for the tzibur, right? I give you a bracha for helping people, for right, for being the Rav, for being the Talmud Chacham, for being a Balas Chesed. Right? Just walk around giving brachas. No one has to hear the bracha you're giving. You can do it in the street. But when you affirm somebody, when you give a bracha to somebody, when you say something positive about somebody, then you are creating a potential for yourself to receive brachas. And that's a very important aspect of affirmations. Now, how and when to use affirmations? I think the first thing is when you're going out with somebody, you should know, you should have some sense of what they do and how long they've been doing it, if you ask a shatran or ask somebody. And how does one give an affirmation? Very simply. Oh, you know, I find it very admirable that you are doing this, right? That you devote your time to tutoring kids, right? That you give bar mitzvah lessons to yisomim. It's very special. I have actually, I'm going to leave that for later. Something I wanted to share with you that'll be in caring. So that's really the first thing I want to share with you. And when you start immediately. There's no downtime in dating. I mean, you have to know the person, and you have to be in the right place, but you should write down if you have any idea what you want to affirm in this person, what you believe, that you really believe, it's not something you're making up. You should put it on a piece of paper, and all you do is one or two. You don't do more than that. And you'll see what a difference it makes. It doesn't take very long. It takes a matter of seconds. But those seconds last the entire date. And sometimes those seconds can carry you through into a very serious relationship. So that's the first thing I want to teach you, called affirmations. The second is I want to teach you something called inner history. Now, we were discussing in the inner circle, which I think is one of the first things we learned, about the impact that others have made on us. We all have a journey in life. we all have lives filled with people and events, and we all have our triumphs, and we have all been inspired by people. Our inner history really represents our ability to share, to understand in ourselves, and share those individuals and events that have shaped our lives, and to be able to share them with the person we're dating. So maybe it's a seminary teacher you dated, that you had in seminary, or maybe it's a grandmother that you were close to, or perhaps it's a parent or a sibling, or somebody that, right? Or maybe it's an award that you won, or maybe you were valedictorian that did, or that you were led some kind of a program in Europe or Israel. But your inner history is being able to define the people and events that shaped your life. And I think each of you should kind of take the time and sit down and write a list of people and events that have shaped your life. Because you want to be able to discuss these individuals when you're dating. These events, these individuals. Firstly, because you want to know that the person you're talking to takes you seriously, right? Can hear what you're saying, can understand. That's very important. You don't want to think seriously about somebody who doesn't understand you, doesn't care about you, is not listening to you. And also, when you share your inner history, you're also giving opportunity of the other person that you're dating to share their inner history as well. And you can ask, this was my year in Eretz Yisrael. How was your year in Eretz Yisrael, right? How was your year, your first day in camp, right? First day in school, right? How do these things go for you, right? Because you're sharing a deeper part about yourself, a part that's human, the parts that people who gave you direction, who gave of themselves to you. This so much of what we call the inner circle, but this is your whole history as an individual, not just in a relationship with one person. But you are talking about your inner circle members, for the most part. So now, when does this start? Also starts the first day. You should have much of this stuff prepared. Write it down, right? Master it. You don't have to share more than one or two things on a date. But you should always have a date where you're sharing at least one affirmation and one inner history memory. It changes the whole essence of a date. You'll see when you share it, everything changes. So that's our second skill in history. The third skill, which is really a turning point, because until now, when you're on a date, you're really talking as acquaintances. You don't really know about each other. You're not important to each other in any sense because there's not enough depth there. But the next level is called vulnerability. And vulnerability is based on the fact that we're all human. We're all here for 120 years. And some of us are aware of it and take it seriously, and others don't. We're not aware of it. We don't take it seriously. And some even try to hide it, right? I have vulnerabilities. But vulnerabilities are lessons that I have learned in life, right? Or nisyonos that I have gone through, right? That help me appreciate and respect life and how Hashem helps us. And it acknowledges my mortality as a person, right? Maybe I went through a bout of COVID, right? And I had a very hard time with that, which I did, right? And I can talk about it very freely. Or maybe I had a different illness. Or maybe I have a sibling that struggles with special needs, or whatever the case may be, that which makes me human, where I do not try to be the perfect specimen, and I'm sharing with you. Now, we never share anything that we don't have some sense of mastery over. So if I were to have a sibling who had special needs, right, I can't be complaining about this sibling. I can be talking about the sibling in a way that shows how difficult it is and for them and how I try to help. But I've come to peace with it, and I'm sharing the fact that I've come to peace with it, right? I've come to peace with the fact that sooner or later I'm going to get another case of COVID, right? I've come to peace with the fact that that we're all counting our years, right? Come to peace with it. That which we haven't come to peace with, we don't share, because if we share it, all we're doing is questioning and complaining, and the person that we're dating is going to run away. We want to show a certain strength. We want to show an ability to look at life's challenges and to overcome their impact on us. But by doing so, we're also showing our vulnerability. So vulnerability is very crucial to building relationship. Right? Particularly if somebody is maybe someone's a yosem, or someone has a parent who's not well, we're not looking for rachmanis over here. We're looking to show our understanding, our own in dignity as individuals, that we're looking to grow and deal with life's with all of the nisyonos that Hashem puts into our laps. So that is vulnerability. Now, when do you share vulnerability? Not right away. You share vulnerability, I would not share it until third or fourth date. Particularly, let's say vulnerability could also be an illness I have, right? Maybe somebody has Crohn's or something like that, right? But it may be something far more subtle. I can get a little OCD-ish sometimes, particularly around the Yom Merim, right? I can kind of checking all the doors and all the mezuzahs, so I learn how to keep myself down, keep myself quiet, keep myself under control. That's a vulnerability, right? But we don't share that right away. And when we share it, the ripple of the pond is that the person that we're sharing it with is receptive to what we're saying. They're not kind of filing their nails when we're talking about the difficulty I had. That's vulnerability. And the last thing I want to teach you on these four or five skills is caring. Now, caring is really the opposite of vulnerability. Caring is that I know your vulnerability and I want to share it with you. I want to tell you a couple of stories of vulnerability. One of caring. There was a fellow who was a computer guy, and he dated quite a few girls, right? And a little bit on the intellectual abstract side. So he started dating a girl, and he was getting to know her. But he really wasn't a very feeling kind of person. So I asked him more about what this girl he was dating was like, and he told me that she had lost her mother that year. Then I asked how many siblings did she have. She had no other siblings. She was the only child. Now that really floored me, because you can imagine what it's like for a girl, particularly a girl, who was an only child, to have lost her mother. So I asked him, do you, have you discussed it with her? She said, well, not really. And I said, well, do you know what it feels like to be an only child without a mother? And to go through a year of illness? He said, well, I never really thought about it. Well, obviously, this was her whole life, or kihem chayenu. So I would like you to, next date, I'd like you to bring up this situation and to say, I was thinking about that, you know, your mother died this year, the year of your avelis. It must have been very difficult for you to lose her, right? That's caring. That is caring. And he was kind of, really? You do that on a date, right? And I said, absolutely. What's dating about, right? It's being human. It's not being, you know, we're not plastic androids, right? We're human. So that's what he did. And then he came back to me the next day and he said it was quite incredible because he's an IT guy, he's a computer guy, that's the way his brain works. But once he raised the issue and she began to talk about her mother and the loss and what it meant to her and how she's struggling and how she's keeping herself and her father, you know, going and working and doing everything else and shopping and cooking, you know, it kind of opened up the relationship in very beautiful ways. Eventually, they got engaged and they got married. Now, I have one scene in my mind I'll never forget, because I went to the Chasna. It was in Brooklyn, and at the Chasna, I was very I was sitting by the chuppah and I was very moved by a very special moment, because when the time came to walk down to the chuppah, this young woman walked only with her father. Her mother, who had died that year, was absent. And I said to myself, isn't that remarkable? It's in many ways, the absent mother, the mother who was nifteris this year, played a very significant role in the fact that this girl is now walking towards her chuppah. And that's caring. So when you say to somebody, you're going through something in life and I think I understand it, you're being caring, right? You're telling that this person, you have a vulnerability and I respect it and I think about it and I care about it. Because you're human, right? And that's what builds a relationship. So these are the four of the skills that I feel are so, well, actually five. The first is menuchas nefesh, and feeling confident that Hashem is taking care of you, and we'll get it back to that in a moment. But then we go into affirmations, and then we go into inner history, and vulnerability, and caring, and these are the four. And once you have this inner relationship, once you have integrated or interlaced a relationship, woven a relationship, with these as common elements, and you're able to maintain your sense of menuchas and nefesh by using the other skills, you really are in a very, very special relationship. So that kind of rounds out the skills or the guiding lights that I wanted to go over in this program. Once again, I suggest very strongly that you listen to all the guiding lights in the very beginning, once a week, devote a week to each of them. And as you do that, you'll find that you're much easier to use them and to use them effectively. It's even pleasurable because it's where you're not vulnerable to these feelings that hit you like a ton of bricks. Okay, so that kind of takes care of the content that I wanted to teach you, which leaves, as I said, it leaves us somewhere between 15 minutes and a half an hour of our time to deal with questions, with issues. I asked Rebbe Sinkona, she'd be kind enough to field some of these questions, and I have a series of them which I which you have sent to her and she has conveyed to me, and I want to cover each of them and individually. And I'll read them and then we'll try to answer them. Well, the first, can you please repeat the tools that we learn, fact, flag, and pages? And I think you're going to have to listen to those again. I went over them briefly, but each one requires an in-depth understanding and a practice. And once you understand and once you practice, you'll see how valuable they are. Now, sorry, I have to close the door. It's my granddaughter at the door. Okay. Good. Now, the first question is, can you please give us some tips to handle Pesach when we feel so out of place, especially since so much of the Yom Tov surrounds family togetherness? It can be very hard. All right. Okay. So I have two. Now, everything that we taught applies here, but I think I have two recommendations, particularly for the Seder, and I think that when you're with crowds of people, with friends, with family, particularly siblings or others who are married, that it's very important to use centering. You'll find that centering, if you're centered beforehand, you will always buffer the blows, right? The difficulties that you're having in dealing with your emotions around people. And I also believe that you should be using the golden threads. You're going to have to listen to the golden threads in the very first session and how I explained it and write it down. And the more you use it, the more effective it'll be. It'll be the combination of golden threads and centering, I think, will be very helpful. Now, but there's another issue which I'll get back to later. These are all realities. These are not, we're not looking to make the problem go away. We're looking to prevent the problem from overwhelming you, but we still have to deal with the problem. We still have to deal with the challenge of not having your bashert. But I want to leave that a little bit later. I'm not going to forget about it. We're not short shrifting this and giving you easy kind of tidbits of how to bake a cake and make sure the cake rises and the dough rises and you'll have a great cake. That's not the answer here. We're talking about life. We're talking about how to maintain your sense of balance, your equilibrium, your integrity, your feelings about yourself, your emunah, your bitachon, everything in life. And we're going to try to get back to that later in a much more comprehensive way. So you'll please don't take what I'm telling you as simple-minded kind of recipes for how to deal with these issues. They will help you. They will buffer you. They will reduce the sense of shock and hurt, and it'll be very important for you to be able to do that. Okay. Now, this question I want to get to later. Here's another question. I'm looking for a husband who will take the lead in the relationship. Someone I can look up to and rely on. Now I am being read to a boy that is younger than I am, and I am hearing that his personality is soft. Is this a reason to say no? The answer is that no one can ever really describe another person. It's impossible to describe another person. Why is that? Because we don't know another person until we see them in a relationship. Until we know them in a relationship. We cannot use, I never accept anything that anyone ever says about another person. Unless they're describing, well, he's 5'9", and he weighs 165 pounds, and he has blue eyes. But these are attributes which are verifiable, but have nothing to do with their midos, of their inner strength, of their emuna, their bitachon, their caring, of any of these other things that we're talking about. So when somebody says they are soft, we don't know what that means. But what's the problem with soft? There is no problem with soft. On the contrary. Now, I'm not defending it because we don't know what soft means. Soft can be mushy, right? But every woman in a relationship that I have ever known, and I've been working with married couples for longer than you've been on this earth, right? Double that probably, right? And I have rarely, if ever, came across a woman, a healthy woman, who appreciated her husband's emotional softness. I'm not talking about somebody who's a jellyfish who falls apart. I'm not talking about somebody who is always melting down and falling but if being soft means I understand you, that I care about your feelings. I spent a good chunk of time today with a couple married about 7 or 8 years, and they have no understanding of each other's feelings, right? And that destroys them. You'll find the most important thing that makes you feel safe in a relationship is a husband who understands and cares about your feelings. So don't run away from the word soft, and don't run after the word gavra, right? Gever, baruch hagever, shefta. Don't run after these words, right? They're meaningless words. You will find in a relationship the most important thing you can find is someone who is able to understand and respect your feelings. That's what enables you to feel that you can trust a person and love a person. Without that, you cannot love a person. Right? That's very, very important for you to understand and appreciate. Don't fall into these words. I forgot the words they use. A nebbi, right? None of these mean anything. I mean, I can describe. I saw somebody the other day who's on a spectrum, clearly on the spectrum, and we can call him Nebbi, but he's not Nebbi. He's on a spectrum. But I can't remember too many people who I have seen who follows his definition of Nebbi. First, we know what it means, but we kind of attach it to people and say, "Oh, I won't go near him. He's Nebbi." No. When you develop a relationship by using affirmations, by using these other things, by quieting your thoughts and your feelings, by using fact, that you're able to see who the person is, you'll find that there's nobody in the world who's Nebbi. Nebbi is a word that was made up by people who are jaded, right? Who are jaded, who are unhappy, who are no going anywhere in their lives, right? And understandably, they're in pain. So they make up a word, Nebbi. But don't fall for it. Don't fall for soft, don't fall for nebby, don't fall for any of these things, because they're gonna destroy your ability to see who a person really is. If you see that somebody is incapable of understanding and caring, right? if you see that a person just is not interested in your feelings, well, that's not nebby and that's not soft. That's just selfish, right? Emotionally self-centered, selfish. You don't want that. So the answer is, do you say no? Absolutely not. You don't say no. You say yes. You go out on a date. You plan your affirmations. You prepare your inner history. And then you use fact and flag and everything else on that date to keep it alive and to see who this person really is. Here's another question. Okay, back to this question a little bit later. Last year I was read to a boy, but I said no because he was a 3-year learner and I wanted 5 to 7 year learner. Now it's a year later and I tried to go back on that decision. But now he's afraid that he is just b'dieved, because I can't get what I originally wanted. Do I give up my basheret because of a technical glitch? This is not a technical glitch. I think there are a lot of girls today who are unmarried and who lost their opportunity because they fell into a trap. And the trap is, does he learn for 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years? The answer is, the reality is that nobody knows how long they're learning for. Nobody. A person may say, I want to learn long term, but after 2 years, I want to go to law school, right? Or I can't keep up. I've married 4 years, we have 3 kids, and I can't support her, right? No, marriage is not about a Shangri-La, about Sir Galahad, Chas v'Shalom, about marrying your seminary teacher. Marriage is about marrying somebody who understands you and cares about you and is building a bias nem in Israel with you, right? Who brings Torah into the house, who brings chesed into the house, and who enables you to practice your chesed and do whatever you have to do to be the person you want to be, right? Marriage is about two people, and I say there are two things I suggest over here when it comes to men and women. A man has to help a girl feel like she is in the safest place in the universe, right? That's what he has to. That's what he has to enable her to feel. And a girl, a young woman, has to do everything possible to enable her husband to achieve everything he could possibly achieve, to become a gadol, not mean gadol ador, a gadol within himself, his own godless, right? To encourage and to motivate, right? And to be there, and to be a chelik. So he has to protect her, and she has to motivate him. That's the nature of the relationship. Don't get caught up. Don't ever, I beg of you, I plead, don't ever get caught up in this nonsense, this silly nonsense, which is destroying the lives of so many people, of 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 7 years. It's all meaningless. Because you don't know how long a person is going to learn for, and you don't know the quality of the Torah home that you're going to create with a person. That's all that matters. That's Hashem decides on which home carries the ability to present to be a Mishkan, right? A Mishkan of Simcha and Ava and Chesed. You have to be clear about that. So, going back to this Shatran, the answer has to be to the Shatran. I thought about it. I heard such wonderful things about him. And this is not a b'dieved. This is a mamash l'chatchila. And I'd really like to try to get to know each other. And if it's possible, please let him know that I'm only doing this because I've heard such wonderful things. And that's what you have to do. But I'm putting myself out on a limb. No, you're not. You're not putting yourself out on a limb. Because if you see wonderful things, you'll continue. And if you don't, you won't continue. Right? And the same with him. Now, there are four or five more questions that I'm going to put them all together now. Because they're not technical questions. They're questions about life. Questions about being single today. Right? And I want to try to relate to them not as a single issue, a one issue, but as a generic issue that is being faced by thousands and thousands of young women today. So I'm going to read the questions that I did not ask yet. I want to make sure I don't leave any of them off. The first question is, after a while of trying to use the formulas we learned, it's still really hard to handle being rejected multiple times by shatranim, by the mothers of boys, and by the boys themselves. We don't even trust our friends anymore. Even with the techniques, it's hard to feel Hashem's love for us. That's one question or statement. Another statement is, I am looking for a shidduch for over 8 years. I have 4 younger sisters waiting behind me. We try to keep a good mood in the house, but it really is very depressing. I feel like I heard all the names of all the boys in my age bracket, my younger sisters don't see any movement. I told them they can skip me, but they know that I don't really mean it. Anyway, no one says yes to our family. That's another statement, question statement. Here's another one. I belong to a group of singles where we all daven for each other. They all got engaged except for me. I belong to Oh Hell Sarola. Three couples that I daven for had babies. I did 40 days of Shir Hashirim, 40 days of Nishmas, and an entire cycle of Shemesh Lashon. I said the entire Tillum on Rosh Hashanah and on Purim, and I'm still single. And here's the last one. I live a really lonely life. All my friends are married and moved away. I think that it doesn't pay to work on making new friends. I just pass the time waiting for my shidduch to come. I try to listen to Shirim or music. What else can I do? Okay, so all of these have a single theme in common, and that is the sense of abandonment, the sense of loneliness, of Yerush that comes along with dating today. The one question, by the way, I did ask a Rav, from Lakewood of Shalom Zafrani, about the issue of what's the halacha of, do your younger siblings have to wait for you to date? And he told me that Rav Moshe has a tshuva, which I did not have a chance to see because I spoke to him just before our meeting, who said that, who clearly gave a pesach that it was not necessary, and one is totally free to do as what one desires or pleases, and not to have to, and no one should be made to wait for anyone. I think the bigger issue in all of these questions that we've dealt with is that we suddenly are faced with the reality that you face every day, whether it's on Pesach or whether it's when you're coming to a Shabbos meal or coming walking into a shul, right? And you are the age where you believed, where you were raised to believe that you were going to have children, you know, and you would have a home and you would have a husband, and you'd be making, and you'd be proud of them and walking with a carriage and all the brachas that come with life. And none of this has occurred. And the way you're treated, many of you, by Shadchanim, and by the boys, yes, certainly by the boys, and by mothers, because I believe that there are many people who are not mature, who are very uncaring, who are not very from, in even though on the surface they are from, but they're not really very from, because they can't care, right? And they don't have this sense of no sibba ol. They don't have the sense of inherent understanding of Selam Elokim. And the result is that you're left high and dry. You're left helpless. And to deal with this every single day. And waiting and waiting and waiting. Now, what's the answer? Well, there's only one clear answer. I mean, the answer is Hashem is the Shatrin. There is no other Shatrin. What's the Hishtadlis? Obviously, the Hishtadlis is B'tochen Nemuno. But what is this B'tochen Nemuno? How do you get it? I mean, so you hear once yeah, now and then you hear a decent speaker. You know, you go to Pesach Krohn, who I love very much, a very close friend of mine, and he elevates you and you feel great and feel full of hope, and then you go back and you deal with your life situation. I believe that the answer, which has not been addressed, you know, there are a number of programs out there for women, married women, although there are some single girls who participate. Soda Adam, right, is a very important program out there for women, Rebbetzin Waxman. But what we're missing here, and I believe this is essential, and I was given this thought before, and I believe this has to be the next project that I, or if I can't, or someone else, I can certainly try to create some kind of an ongoing resource or chizuk, right? Not once a month, but ongoing to give you the serious strengths and skills to deal with the nisoyon that Hashem has placed each of you in, because you're not, nobody is in a nisoyon by themselves. Nobody is in an island. Nobody exists for a moment without Hashem's love and protection. And if you're there, because, and I'm not telling you to give chizik. I think the chizik you need here has to be much stronger than mine. I can give skills. I think the chizik I give is much more limited. But we have to find, and I think we have to figure it in, and we have to work together with Rebbetzin Cohen and other people and yourselves. We have to be able to put together an ongoing source of chizuk and emunah and bitachon that each of you that Rabboni Shalom will recognize as what he has been waiting for, right? To open up the spigot. Now, does that mean that boys become more mature, that mothers become more accepting? Rabboni Shalom does everything. There's nothing that happens without Rabboni Shalom. A person has insight because Rabboni Shalom gives them insight. A person grows because I help them grow. Whether you're going physically, whether you're going emotionally, or you're going on a ruchi level, or a mother decides to accept a child, accept a girl, even though, right? I remember my own mother, told me that, I think I mentioned at the beginning of the program, that she was in Boston. I might not go into the whole situation, but my father, Shalom's mother, came to Boston to meet with her. And she was my bubby was the first treasurer of the Mir in America. This was an important family, and who is he going to marry? Who is she going to permit him to marry? Some girl from Boston that has no mother, that has no name. Why is she going to Boston? How can a China come to Boston for? And she went to Boston, and she was about to almost kill it. She wasn't. But there was a woman there by the name of Revison Zaitchik, who was her husband was an Adam Gottel, and she was related to the family. And she told my mother, she said, "I'll take care of you. You'll stay with me." And at the meeting between my mother and my bubby, right, Revison Zaitchik, who was no lightweight. She was a very chosh woman. And she told my bubby, she said, "I'll vouch for her. She's the best there is," right? And that turned the tables. And had it not been for that, would they have got married? Would I be here? I don't know. But each of us in our lives, in every marriage, Hashem is there. I think we need a kind of a program, a kind of resources that married women have, for many of them. Men don't need it because they're in yeshiva all day, and they have the support of their Rosh Yeshivas and everybody else. But you, young women, you need it, and you deserve it, and Hashem wants you to have it. And my sense is, the sooner we get it to you, the sooner we have this program set up for you, these resources for chizuk and emunah and bitachon on an ongoing basis, not once a month and not just, once every 6 months, Pesach Chrom talk, which we love, but ongoing to build you up and to give you the ability to handle the Pesach and to handle the mothers and to handle the guys and to handle everything, right? That I think Hashem is waiting for. And Bez Hashem, we're going to work on that. We're not going to let you down. We're not going to walk away. We're going to be there for you. And we're going to do everything we can to make it happy. So each of you and all the people you know will eventually find your Bashert, because that's what you're here for. That's what Hashem put you here for, and that has to be our goal as well. I was once asked somebody. I said, "What is people who are nifter?" I knew of an Adam Gottel that was nifter, and I asked somebody. I said, "This Adam Gottel is nifter. What is he doing in Shemayim?" Right? And he told me, he said, you know, I want to tell you something. He said, I don't tell this to people. He said, I had an image, I had a vision of this person. And in the Shemayim, this Adam Gadol is caring about everybody. And the more he cares about them, the more brachas Hashem wants to give, right? So we have to care about, not only in the Shemayim, we have to care down here, and that's what we're going to do. Bez Hashem. And Bez Hashem, each of you will have a simcha, and we're going to do whatever we can to open up the gates of Shemayim, so you find your Bashert, and you should have a Pesach of simcha, and Gula Shalema, both on Bruchani and an interpersonal sense. We have a service to all of you. I thank you all very much for participating in this program. It's been a very special experience for me, and I hope to hear good news from each of you. Good night and a good Yom Tov.